views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Ready to step out of the fog of confusion and into a deeper connection with spirit? Karen Hager's ready to light up your day with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, light workers, spiritual visionaries, and more. Whether she's interviewing someone well-known or unknown, Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity keeps the atmosphere positive and generous. Now here's the host of Out of the Fog, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for a spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving from stuck to unstuck, out of fear and into love. And I am glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy. And that means that no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found us, you're here for a reason. And I hope something you hear in the next hour inspires you and helps you move forward. Now, I don't know how it is where you are, but in all parts of the U.S., at least, snow is piling up. The temperatures are cold. The wind is howling like crazy. And it's exactly this type of day when it might make us ready for adventure. So are you ready? Shall we go to the jungle? My guest on today's show is investigator and adventurer Lee Elders. He's here to share the true story of his journey of discovery in Ecuador and his connection with the supernatural world of the Shuara, the headhunters of the Western Amazon. Now, I'll introduce you to Lee in just a moment, but first, would you please head over to KarenHager.com and just click on everything? That's where you can find out more about what's coming up on the show, where you can connect with me in person or online, and a ton more. And as always, if you are looking for compassionate, no-nonsense intuitive guidance, I would love to connect with you. KarenHager.com. And now, Lee Elders was destined to be an investigator and adventurer. Born in a railroad house in Bowie, Arizona, he was raised on the Apache Reservation near San Carlos, where his pet was a coyote and his mentor, an Apache medicine man, who helped forge Lee's resolves during his later expeditions in Ecuador. Lee has an extensive background in investigation and documentary filmmaking, and he's traveled the world exploring the unknown. His new book is Expeditions, Gold, Shamans, and Green Fire. You can find out a lot more about Lee and all his adventures at leeelders.com. Lee, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Hey, thank you, Karen. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much. Now, I'm freezing, and I'm ready to go now with you to the steamy jungles of Ecuador. What on earth started this adventure for you?
It all began back in the 60s. I was an adventure addict. The way I grew up on the San Carlos Reservation as a young boy, I used to explore the dry washes and roam here and there, and later on in life, I started craving that adventure as a child again. And I was lucky enough to hire on as an underwater diver for a mining company going down to Ecuador. And that's how I got started. And in the period of time I was there, I searched for a gold-bearing river, found it, took out a lot of gold. Later on, I had come back to the States. I received a letter from a dear friend I'd made down in Ecuador, Adriano Ventimiglia. His letter shook me up quite a bit. He told me about a lost emerald mine, and he had found the last will and testament of the man that had found the mine, a Colombian, and he wanted me to come back and help him search for it. So I returned to Ecuador in the mid-60s, and we began the search. Which started with deciphering a last will and testament. And from there, we had to put clues together and do a lot of things. But that That was the beginning of the search for the mine.
Wow. Now, most people would get a letter in the mail that says, here's the instructions to the Lost Emerald Mine. And most of us would go, oh, yeah, that only happens in the movies, right? You have that personality, that connection with, maybe it's part of your soul path where you will put yourself in physical danger, because your drive to find the answer, your curiosity is enormous.
Well, I've always loved mysteries, trying to solve mysteries. And perhaps that's why I was a private investigator for many years, later formed my own company. But this letter was overwhelming because Adriano Ventimiglia, he was a college student. He was studying to be an attorney. We had become friends. He was very trustworthy. I knew he wouldn't lead me on a wild goose chase. And something inside, my intuition told me that this rings of truth. So I went back to Ecuador, and he had done his homework. We had found a Salesiano priest who had explored in that area, had found a large rock matrix that had encrusted emeralds in it. So we knew that the area that the Last Will and Testament was speaking of was an emerald bearer. That was the first thing that caught our attention. The second thing was this man, Rafael Mejia, who found the emeralds, he was a Colombian, and he worked for a company up in Quito called the Quinero Mining Company. And what they did was they would go in and harvest quinine, and he was one of the workers. So we checked out through Adriano's Quito sources that this company did exist at that time. So now we had two clues as to the validity of Mejia's claims.
And following through on that, that began this long... How many years would you say you spent in your pursuit of the emeralds, of the green fire?
On and off, I'd say probably 10, 12 years.
Yeah. Yes.
Not all that time was in Ecuador, but I would come back to the States. I would do research, things like that. And then I would take time off and then maybe years later go back. My last trip down was in 1988. That was the last time I went to Ecuador. But I began the search in 1968. So a period of 20 years went by there. But, of course, all that time wasn't devoted to solving the emerald. The last will and testament for the emeralds.
There's a sense throughout the book, and your book is Expeditions, Gold Shamans, and Green Fire. And there's a sense through this whole book about how the world of the supernatural, the world of what we can't quite see and touch, and you were mentioning your intuition and the riddle and being led, feeling called, how that world interacts with the natural world. And your first trip there, talking when you were talking a little bit about the gold and about Little Hell, which is there's a river. It's a long story. Get the book, you guys. Get the book. but that sense of the supernatural and the natural world coming together, that plays a big part in the story, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Because the first thing, when I first met Antonio Necta, the shaman, we met him, we had to make contact with him because his property was in the direction that we had to search upriver for this emerald deposit. And we had to get permission from him to cross his land. Well, in that process, we brought him to Cuenca, which was my home base, Ecuador. And when he came in, one of the first things he asked me is if I believed in spirits. And I told him, yes, I did. And he said, good, because the spirits told me to come and meet with you. Well, that was the beginning of a long friendship.
He was
a shaman. The definition of what he did was a Piner Uisen, and that meant that he was a curer. There were two types of shaman. There were the bewitchers, the Waweks, and then there were the curers. And luckily, I happened to find a cure.
Now, we're coming right up into the break. My guest is Lee Elders, and when we come back, we'll talk to him more about his connection with Antonio Necta. We'll find out more about the Shuara people. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. We'll be right back after this.
There's not just one kind of radio show. Some shows are about health, wellness, food. Others are about helping you on your spiritual journey. Some radio shows are all about busting through and getting unstuck from the crust in your life. But the Dr. Pat Show, well, she does it all. She's been helping people in all aspects of their life now for 10 years. Her interview style, her unique personality, the amazing guests she has on her show are all factors of what makes an amazing radio show. Please join Dr. Pat in celebrating 10 extraordinary years of talk radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. Thank you for supporting us for the past 10 years. Positive Talk Radio was a vision that we've had. And thanks to all of you, you've helped us make it a reality. We are promising each and every one of you that this coming year, our 10th year anniversary, will be the best yet. For more information, please make sure you stay tuned to TransformationTalkRadio.com or TheDrPatShow.com. And remember, join me. Let's live life full out together.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers and light workers guaranteed to raise your vibration. Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity is what makes this show super special. Visit FogCityPsychic.com to find out more and to book your private intuitive reading today.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. I was dancing there. I didn't come in quite right away. I was sort of doing some chair dancing here, as we often do on the show. I hope you're having a wonderful day wherever you are. We are deep in the jungles of Ecuador for this program with my guest, Lee Elders. His new book is Expeditions, Gold, Shamans, and Green Fire. You can find out more about Lee and his work at LeeElders.com. Now, Lee, right before we went to the break, you had just met Antonio Necta, and he's one of the Shuara people. You were sharing something very interesting with me off the air about who the Shuara are and also how they wished to be seen, what they wished to be called. So can you share with the listeners a little about the Shuara?
Oh, absolutely. The Shuara, originally, the Western world gave them the name Hivro, and the Hivros were the headhunters of the Western Amazon. They hated the name Hivro. They preferred the name Shuara, because Shuara to them in their language meant men and people. And they had foregone the Unteshuars that I worked with had pretty much forgone the taking of human heads and shrinking heads. Many of them were converting to Catholicism, Western religion. They were enjoying the riches that were coming into their area from the colonials. All the outsiders, any outsider other than their tribal members, were referred to as colonials. Many of them they didn't trust. But the Shuara were a proud people. The Incas tried to dominate them. They couldn't. They put up fierce battles against the Inca. They also did the same against the Spanish, the conquistadors. So nobody could really conquer them. And they were a proud people. They believed in the supernatural world. Everything had a purpose in the jungle. They believed in the rhythm and the harmony of the jungle. And the shaman had developed a technique of which they called heart fire, of being able to read an outsider. And the only thing I can think of as to how this worked was the fact that maybe they were reading the aura. I don't know. But I know I went through a reading session with them for them to determine my heart fire, to see if I was pure of thought and deed. And this is what bonded my relationship with Necta and his people, was because I had no ulterior motives for going in to their area. The only thing I wanted to do was solve a mystery, perhaps find the emeralds. If I could find them, great. If I couldn't, that was okay too, because adventure was my mainstay. This was the thing that was driving me, the adventure of going in, the curiosity of what was there. Perhaps if I could get lucky and find the area, that would be great. But if I couldn't, then to me, the addiction of adventure was still working in my life. Mm-hmm. And I, as I said earlier, I grew up that way on the Apache Reservation. My life was full of adventure as a kid, and I wanted to maintain that on my journeys in Ecuador.
And when you connected with Antonio and he asked you if you believed in the spirits, and you said yes, his belief was that you would need that acceptance to be safe in your journeys ahead. It's part of what helped him. He didn't just say, you didn't just shake hands and he went, hello, I will help you with what you want. Oh, right? No. You really had to learn to trust each other, both of you, you trusting him and in him trusting you.
Well, that was the name of the game. It was a two-way street. It was trust on both sides. And the Shuara, for example, when I first went on one of my first expeditions there, I had some Kanyari Indians with me. They're the mountain Indians. They had worked with me in the past. I could trust them, so I brought them with me. But the Shuara detested them because the Kanyari were scared to death of the Shuara, and the Shuara could read this. So I had to switch people later on for other expeditions because the Shuara were really in tune with not only nature, not only the supernatural spirits that roam the jungle, but most of them took Natima when they were very young, which is a form of ayahuasca. This was to build up their courage, to build up their learning, their knowledge. But it was a hallucinary drug. And somewhere along the way, I think that some of the elder Shuara, primarily shaman, had opened different doorways into reading different types of people, almost like intuitive nature of psychic ability. And they were very careful about who they would allow deep into the interior, or who they would allow to go with them. And fortunately, I met their criteria. I was accepted, and we made many, many expeditions together. And Necta became my point man. He risked his life. He risked his reputation in helping me search for these hidden clues we were looking for. And through that, we became inseparable. We became very, almost like brothers.
If you had not been accepted, if you had not passed the test, would that have stopped your quest for the emeralds, or would you have just gone around found another way?
No, definitely not. I would have never gone back in without their help. Yeah. It would have been impossible, number one. Number two, it would have been too dangerous. There was a lot of the shaman, the Wawiks, which were the bewitcher types. I never met one, but I heard a lot about them. They were very in tune with black magic, that sort of thing. They could, have different forces to ply against you. They could, for example, direct snakes against you, a snake attack or a tiger attack or bad weather. At least this is what Nectar told me. And we had a lot of problems early on going up there with snakes and with cats, primarily the jaguar. I had never heard, and I didn't believe it until they told me about it, but they said the jaguar would hunt in packs. Well, that's totally unknown to a jaguar. Normally they don't do this. They're very territorial, but they won't do this. But I heard many stories about how 5-6 jaguars would attack a group that was going through the jungle. A lot of people in the Sakua region where I left from to go up into the jungle told me these stories. So there was something to the supernatural. I definitely believed it. I definitely was very cautious about it. And definitely, I certainly would not have gone in there by myself without their help.
There's a difference, isn't it, between being an adventurer, meaning that you have no fear and you just, you know, kind of push through. But what you're talking about is that my sense is that kind of adventure that's sort of led by spirit, where you're following your intuition, but you've also got some of your common sense firmly engaged.
Well, I'm using both. I'm using a lot of logic. The first thing I'm trying to do is protect myself, my health, my life, and by doing that, you have to be very cautious, you have to be very careful, and not just throw everything to the wind. But in the same token, you have to be cautious of what the tribe is telling you about the supernatural, and you have to believe in it because you know it's real to them. Therefore, it's going to be real to you if you go in. If you're frightened of it, then don't go, because the shuar can pick up fear real quick. And a man, not only a man, but a snake. And they taught me how the snakes, when they sense fear, they open their mouth and their tongue starts to flicker out of their mouth. And they say that that is when the snake is detecting fear from you. And when it does, it will attack. And they talked about these aggressive snakes they had in there. And believe me, it was scary to even think about it. But I had faith in Nectan. I had faith in the fact he was a shaman. And I had faith in my own ability. And I think that's what pulled me through.
This is wonderful stuff. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Lee Elders. He's the author of the book Expeditions, Gold Shamans, and Green Fire. Find out more about him at leeelders.com. When we come back after this break, we'll talk a little bit more about his supernatural events, the supernatural world of the Shuara, and we'll find out, did he ever find the emeralds? We'll be right back after this.
Oh, Lord.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers and light workers guaranteed to raise your vibration. Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity is what makes this show super special. Visit FogCityPsychic.com to find out more and to book your private intuitive reading today.
Join the Pacific Northwest's EFT Tappers at the 4th Annual Tappers Gathering this March 1st at Bastyr University. Tapping enthusiasts from across the region will be sharing healing stories, learning different EFT applications, and forging a strong community. This event raises money and awareness for continuing EFT tapping scientific research. All net proceeds go to our 501c3 nonprofit conducting a study showing how EFT can alter gene expression. Bring your cards and information for a fulfilled day of networking and inspiring one another. Visit www.nwtappersgathering.com or call 360-661-6877. www.nwtappersgathering.com or call 360-661-6877.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. My guest is Lee Elders from LeeElders.com. We're talking about his new book, Expeditions, and his adventures in the jungles of Ecuador, his connection with the Shuar people. And Lee, we've got you moving through the jungle. We've got jaguars, we've got snakes. And I'm wondering, what was it like physically, mentally, emotionally? What were some of the challenges of this expedition for you?
Oh, the biggest challenge in the beginning was just trying to keep everything together, meaning your health. We were packing pretty good loads, 40 to 50 pounds. That was wearing me down. And we were going uphill, downhill. We were in mud. We were in thickets. When we got to Canyon Brava, they called it, which is a grass that grows wild. It's called Brava. And they use it as thatch for their thatch roofs. Anyway, it grows about 6-7 feet high, and it just, you have to plow through it. And, of course, this is a hunting ground of a lot of animals, and it's snake territory. You really can't see that well. And eventually, I just took my shotgun and put it over my shoulder. I didn't even bother to carry it in my arms anymore because it was too heavy, and I wouldn't have time to defend myself anyway. And this was one of the problems, is hacking and slashing through that type of terrain. Then you had the creeper vines. They were horrible. You could easily snap an ankle, break an ankle, because they almost seemed to have human intelligence. You would start through this area, and it seemed like they were grabbing for you. Hmm. So these were just some of the physical pitfalls that you went through, besides being tired and sweaty. And, of course, they would warn me that, look, there's this brown snake. It's a viper. it can kill a man, or there's this green snake, or this what plum-looking snake. Well, just about all the jungle foliage that you're going through is that color. So eventually you stop looking for the danger, and you just try to get through the process of where you're going, and hopefully you don't break a leg or snap an ankle or something like that. So the physical part was very demanding, and not only physically but emotionally as well. But once you, and the thing that really, I think, accented it more than anything else was the trees were so large you couldn't see the sun, and it was always cloudy, and some days it was raining. And so that sort of lent to your despondency, I should say. But physical and mental side, is, you know, setting that aside, the other thing that was nerve-wracking was the Shuar always had some kind of spiritual thing going on. For example, they had spirit numerology. And on one of my expeditions, we had a total of five people, and one of the men that was with us refused to go because he said the spirit guardians only will allow four people to go. So we had to leave one behind. So we had spirit numerology at work. And then there was the fourth guardians they talked about. And, excuse me, that they were would come in at a certain period of time, mainly at night, check on us. I did witness these balls of energy. They looked like orbs about the size of basketball that were floating in the tree line. This, to the Shuara, were the forest guardians. Okay, I accepted that because I couldn't rationalize as to what else it might be. So these were just some of the things that took its toll on an expedition.
There's that sense of, I'm imagining myself, I'm just kind of putting myself in your shoes, there's that sense of being immersed in a place that's almost out of our sense of chronological time. A place where everything is bigger, right? And as you're moving through, that space, that idea again of the supernatural feels really important. Is that how you were being guided? Is that how Antonio knew where you were going? Was because he was being guided intuitively?
Yes. Number one, number two, he'd been in there in the past, but the area that was most concerning to me was called the Cayonade. And the Cayonade was pretty much unexplored. We had to get across this river to go into it. And the river was always flooded to some degree. But eventually we made it across the river later on, and we went into the Cayonade. And he told me that the further east we would go, the larger everything would become. For example, the leaves would get larger, the trees would get larger. And this was true, because we were getting deeper into the Amazon basin, even though the Shuara and others at that juncture called it the Oriente. So the Oriente in Spanish means east. So we were traveling in a due eastern direction, and the farther east you would go, the closer you would get into the Amazon basin, or what was the pure Amazon jungle. But the Oriente was brutal. So I really didn't care to adventure into what was called the deep Amazon basin. That would have been something else, because the Oriente and the Cayonade was almost as if time had stood still in those areas because of the size of the trees and the different types of foliage that was in there, and the bird life. My gosh, the bird life was wonderful. All those different colors of different types of birds. And they would sit up in the trees and prune themselves and stare at us almost to say, what are you doing here? Do you really know where you're going? This type of thing.
Wow. there is that sense of needing permission to pass, of us being on the earth, because we are meant to live in harmony with natural forces and not work against them. Was that asking for permission, getting clearance from the forest guardians, a big part of all of your work with Antonio?
Yes, it was. Intuition was a very important part of my adventures, and also getting permission. I used a psychic to help me out back in Phoenix, Dr. Richard Ireland, a psychometrist. He gave me a lot of good information. He did tell me that there were physical forces against me and also spirit forces against me. I didn't know what he meant when he was talking about the spirit until I got in there and I found out exactly that almost every daily waking hour, the Shuara are being led by spiritual, by intuition, by something that is outside our realm of existence, something encased in our third dimensional world. And whether it be called black magic, whether it be called white magic, I don't know. It would depend on who was using it. But they were very much in tune to the forest. And they said that the forest became disruptive, and those that lived in the forest would become disruptive if you brought greed or anger or anything like that on your journey into the Kyanade. And I found this to be true, because one of the expeditions I made, I had a man with me that was extremely greedy. He was the man that found the last will and testament, but he felt that the emeralds had been found by the Shuara. He became very angry. He was very greedy. The Shuara detected this, and they wanted nothing else to do with him. So I had to tell him that from now on, you know, he would have to stay in the city, which he did. But they were very in tune. And their intuition, I think, guided them so much through there, if that answers your question.
It does. Well, and it's making me think about how there's a parallel there to our spiritual lives for all of us, that when we bring in anger and greed, that it disrupts the natural flow. When we go trampling in someplace without being in right alignment, it can throw everything off. There's a wider application of those principles here.
Absolutely, especially when you get into a pristine area like the Kyanade. I mean, it was just like raw nature in there, and for someone to go in that had the idea in the back of their mind of, gosh, I want to cut all these trees down. I can make a lot of money by doing it. Or I want to put a dredge in the river over there. And, of course, that tears the river up. I think this is the thought process, this type of thought process that disrupts the flow, the harmony of nature itself and of the jungle itself. And I knew there were good spirits, and I knew there were bad spirits. And the Wawiks would tune in to the negative side of things to do their bewitching. They would place a curse on someone at their displeasure, whereas the Pinarawusan, like Antonio, would then have to go to that person and try to cure them. And so it was a constant battle of good versus evil, of negativity, even in that area. And even today, it's still there.
You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Lee Elders, author of the book Expeditions. And we'll be right back with Lee after this.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
Come alive and shine with the Alive and Shine radio show with Adil and Savitri. Widen your perspective, learn to heal yourself, and clarify your power of choice so that you feel truly alive and shine. The Alive and Shine radio show is your how-to guide for creating a life in which your dreams come true. Listen live each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW or at aliveandshineshow.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers and light workers guaranteed to raise your vibration. Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity is what makes this show super special. Visit FogCityPsychic.com to find out more and to book your private intuitive reading today.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
Hey, do you like free stuff? The Dr. Pat Show has an amazing giveaway program doing weekly giveaways on Facebook and Twitter. Go to Facebook.com/The Dr. Pat Show and click the like button. Then go to Twitter.com/The Dr. Pat Show and click the follow button. Then you can play along and enter to win some amazing prizes. Again, that's Facebook.com/The Dr. Pat Show and Twitter.com/The Dr. Pat Show.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. My guest is Lee Elders. He's the author of the book Expeditions, Gold, Shamans, and Green Fire. You can find out more about Lee and his work at leeelders.com. Now, Lee, did you find the emeralds?
I found emeralds. I did not find the Mahia emeralds, but I found the location. This was in 1988, years after I first started the search. I went back to Ecuador in 88 to help a friend in need, and that friend was Antonio Necta. And in going back, I had no plans to make an expedition for emeralds, but I found myself with Necta guiding me back into that area because he had ulterior motives to doing that because he felt he had been was being watched by the tribe because he had divulged secrets to outsiders, primarily me. But I found out that wasn't true later on. It was the fact that Necta had converted to religion instead and left his tribal background. And because of that, one of his old adversaries, a Wawick, was trying to put a curse on him and have him killed. But anyway, I went back, and we went into the area of the Kayanade together, and we had picked up another man along the way whose family owned that property in that area, own property in that area. And in doing that, because I came back to help a friend, I had permission from the forest guardians to roam at will in that area without any problems. So my newfound friend and I, his name was Marcelo, he took me to places I could have never gone by myself or even with Necta probably. And in the process of doing that, I discovered something in myself that was, I discovered my own, what the Indians call arutam. And arutam is your vision of your soul. And something inside of me took over, and it said, look, I really don't want to find these emeralds, because if I do, what will happen to the land? What will happen to the people? Their lives are going to be changed forever. I saw what gold mining camps had done to rivers and done to the people in their areas. It totally destroyed them. So I felt that if I did find the location, and I knew I was right on top of it at the time, it would be great to see that 75 pounds of emeralds that was hidden under a clean rock.
Wow.
But I just couldn't do it. And I felt that it belonged to the people there, not to one person who would come in and pillage it and all of that. So my whole philosophy had changed at that point. And the spiritualism I received, spirituality, was incredible because I came out of there. I felt free. Finally, my addiction to adventure was over. I hope I'm not ruining the end of the book for the people, but this is very true. I just wanted to leave everything in peace, and I had gone there to help a friend. I helped him, and I came out, and I came home, and I haven't been back.
It feels to me like a shift that must be carrying over into your life even today, even as you are back, haven't been back to Ecuador. How has this changed you, continued to shape you as you move forward here?
Oh, the shift of consciousness was incredible because it opened up many other aspects in my life, new adventures. Like I said in the book, my adventures would continue, but not in the womb of the Moccas Forest. I leave that to others. I leave that to the tribe. And but as far as my personal life, it was very rewarding. It helped me get involved in a real adventure in Switzerland that took about 7-8 years of my life. And that was investigating a UAO case, an unidentified aerial object case in Switzerland.
Wow.
With a Swiss farmer. That opened up new territory for me, new adventures. And I think I made the right decision. I don't regret not going after the emeralds and bringing them out, because I think there would have been too many problems involved. Today, for example, one cannot explore freely in that area of where I went. Today, you have to have permission from the Shuar Federation to go in there. So they're guarding their land very, very carefully today. Mm-hmm. And for anyone that wants to follow my footsteps, all I can say is good luck, but please get permission.
Now, I hear that there is a new book, and I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Yes, it's already written, and I'm editing it now, but it's a continuation of my adventures in Ecuador. The search for the Mejia Emeralds took place in the 60s. This book picks up my adventures in the 70s. has nothing to do with the search for the emerald mine anymore, but it's new projects that have come to me through my friend, Dr. Ventimiglia. And it involves a search for a cave that contains many artifacts in it. It also is about our dig on a Waka, which was a giant tomb, which took about 3 months to dig. It also covers the revolution I was caught up in Ecuador in 1972, when the military took power. So it's just a lot of different forms, different types of adventures that I took in Ecuador in the 70s.
Oh, my gosh. Lee, thank you so much for being on the show today, for sharing your adventures. We hardly even scratched the surface. And thank you so much for sharing this all with the listeners.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. That was Lee Elders. Now, the book that you're about to go and get is called Expeditions, Gold, Shamans, and Green Fire. There's so much more to this story. So you can connect with Lee through that book, Expeditions, and there's much more information for you at leeelders.com. And while you're on the internet, don't forget to go to karenhager.com, click on everything, find out who's coming up next on this show. I'm getting ready to go teach and work with people in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Find out how you can connect with me live. And as always, thank you for listening today. Together, we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.
You've been listening to the hit show, Out of the Fog, with Karen Hager. Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. If you're looking for compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive guidance, visit FogCityPsychic.com today to book your session with Karen. If you've missed any part of this amazing show, go to FogCityPsychic.com for your free download. See you next week. Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers and light workers guaranteed to raise your vibration. Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity is what makes this show super special. Visit FogCityPsychic.com to find out more and to book your private intuitive reading today.
Tune in to Intuit University, compassionate guidance connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, the second and fourth Thursday each month at 12 p.m. Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality and a fun and magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as Sherry supports and empowers you to create your best life in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, and spirituality. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to give your home a fresh look but don't want to do the work? Help is a phone call away. Kathy's Handy is a full-service general contracting company specializing in home improvement, remodeling, and repairs. Kathy's Handy are specialists in kitchens, baths, fireplace makeovers, and finished carpentry, and they partner with other amazing specialty subcontractors needed to complete any job. Friendly, energetic, and dependable, with an impeccable reputation to get the job done while keeping you as comfortable as possible during the transformation of your home, is the hallmark of Kathy's Handy. Call Kathy now for a free estimate. 206-715-8126. That's 206-715-8126. And visit kathyshandy.com for a complete view of possibilities for your home.
Tune
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers and light workers guaranteed to raise your vibration. Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity is what makes this show super special. Visit FogCityPsychic.com to find out more and to book your private intuitive reading today.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Join us February 14th through the 17th for the 22nd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference in Seattle. Come explore the new paradigm, riding the wave of the heart. Inspirational speakers, experiential workshops will change your life for good. Join Donna Eden, Esther Nicholson, Jalaja Bonheim, Julie McIntyre, and S.J. Tucker. Everything is individually priced, and evening events are open to men. Reduced prices for teens, students, and seniors. Looking for community? Join us this February. Visit womenofwisdom.org. That's womenofwisdom.org. Oh, and you'll want to attend the CD music release concert that S.J. Tucker is giving Saturday, February 15th. That's womenofwisdom.org, 206-782-3363. That's 206-782-3363.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker Sue London. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
What's getting your attention as physical pain or illness? Have doctors been unable to help? Consider an intuitive healing session with Christy Borst. Amazing things happen every day, sometimes with jolting awareness, and sometimes with subtle shifts aided with Christy's divine healing gift. Release that which no longer serves you. For more information and to contact Christy, visit healingresonance.us. That's healingresonance.us.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.